From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Riley has coverage from the Digital Data Management Day at the Landis Innovation Connector in Des Moines. Dustin and Andy discuss Iowa's improving drought situation, and Dustin has the facts and figures regarding the huge amount of eggs that were used for Easter this year. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Well, what an Easter holiday it was for a lot of different reasons, including egg usage. Over 3 billion with a B, thanks to Dustin's great reporting. Hello there, and welcome to the Iowa Ag Matters program, your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture. A little chilly, overcast, or most of us. The moisture has stopped, at least for a little bit. Freezing temperatures expected the next couple of nights, Dustin, but the art of decorating eggs seems to be returning, which is kind of fun to hear about as well.
Yeah, that it is. And talking hearing from the folks at the American Egg Board, some very interesting and creative ways of doing it. It's no longer just the dyeing of the egg. And don't get me wrong, that's still quite a simple and very fun way of spending some time. But disco ball eggs could be something we're going to be seeing more and more of. A little bit maybe beyond my realm of wanting to do, but we'll have to see how that goes. But right now, we've got Joe Kemp from Comstock Investments kicking us off with Mark Magnuson talking about what is going on in those grains here as we start the day.
Joined today by Joe Kemp of Comstock for our opening market discussion. Joe, what are we seeing taking place in the grains?
We're seeing a quiet overnight trade here, a little bit lower as we head into the hard open again at 8:30. But quiet with lighter volumes trading here and a lack of fresh news. We are sorting through the weekly export numbers. They were a bit soft here, which may have led to the latest downturn here. We had some strength overnight to speak of, but I think we can get past these numbers pretty quickly. I think overall, still pretty solid on looking at corn exports in general. We see that there could be reason that the USDA would want to bump those trade targets up here in future reports. That would start with next week. We'll have our next monthly update on the supply and demand numbers. For soybeans, exports have been weak and still are here in this latest update. But the real focus there is that we can't ship out as many soybeans as we have been in years past because we're using so much of that crop in the processing sector, making renewable diesel and crushing for meal and oil. Well, I think that's still a big factor we're going to watch today here, as we've recently had some strength for crude oil, has led to the support for bean oil and ultimately been propping up the soy complex here. So we're heading into the end of the week here with just some mixed type trading.
To that last point, Joe, could you explain the relationship between the crude oil and the soybean oil and kind of what you said? When that price of crude oil went up, we saw the soybean oil tag along with it.
Yeah, it goes straight into the processing sector demand and those processing margins. It was just last week we were updated with the USDA report on soy crushings. It was another monthly record. We've had 5 of those in a row here where we keep crushing more and more beans. And what we're doing is trying to get the bean oil in the biggest way to produce this biodiesel and renewable diesel. And so you have crude oil and that link to the fuel processing sector that's directly tied to that market. And you've got another link here where crude oil can be just generally the leader of the commodity space as a whole, because if you're going to have crude oil rallying like it has, that's going to attract additional interest from investors in other commodities like the grains and livestock. And we've seen this more and more lately, these big banks like Goldman Sachs or JP Morgan calling for oil, gold, other commodities to rise here throughout the rest of the year because of this shifting interest rate policy that's coming up here. Lower interest rates, probably a weaker dollar, still some concern over inflation. And that's why this oil move, the gold move too, with new all-time highs reached this week, that's attracting just generally more interest in commodities, and that can be the tide that lifts all ships.
And the bottom line for the producer, the soybean producer, is those products, soybean oil and meal, the more alternative uses, the more extra uses and demand for those products, good news for the producer.
Absolutely. If you're talking about stronger processing margins, generally speaking, we're seeing incentive for prices to rise and certainly stronger basis.
Well, we'll have more from Joe Camp of Comstock Investments coming up later on in the program. Right now, Andy Peterson's here with his three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Taking the next step when it comes to enhancing utilization and analysis of data. Our friends at Landis Cooperative holding a big event at their Innovation Connector to attempt to connect farmers with technology and solutions that help them run their operations more efficiently, effectively, and sustainably.
Our farmers overall know that data is changing, but there are a ton of questions they have around how, what role they play, the cost, the efficiency, the monetization of this, and how sustainability, 45Z, so much going on this.
CEO Matt Karsten says the key to this is putting farmers back at the center as they own the data and need help in being able to better optimize collection and usage when it comes to agricultural production.
Number two.
The numbers are in for egg consumption and usage during the Easter holiday, and it's a big one, about 3 billion. Eggs were utilized in baking, decorating, or consumption. Of course, Iowa's the leading egg-producing state. Mark Dresner with the American Egg Board says egg decorating is trending higher, with parents wanting to get their kids off screens and looking for things to pass the time. There's an ebb and flow with everything, of course, but that art appears to be cycling back into more widespread popularity.
Number one.
Continuing to drive demand for corn by finding new uses and investing in startups.
The Radical Corn Value Chain Challenge. It's an opportunity for us to follow through with our mandate as the Corn Promotion Board of, as you know, consumer and producer education, market development, and research and business development.
Stan Nelson with the Iowa Corn Promotion Board says they're going to invest a minimum of $1.5 million in startup and growth companies from around the world who have great ideas on how to further use Iowa-grown corn. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of 3 herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
In looking at the rainfall across the state, the heaviest precipitation falling exactly where the worst part of the drought monitor was indicating, and so a reduction coming. We'll talk about the drought monitor, which is out this morning, coming up next.
Well, as the information rolls in, I know we were talking earlier this week with the rain and the snow. It'd be nice to see what the drought monitor has to say. And we got information yesterday from NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, talking about what they saw from February to March. And we know that drought has been an issue across the country, Andy. And to see it drop across countrywide for a 2% in the level of drought, you know, we got a long way to go. It took us a while to get there, but improvement, at least what we're seeing finally. And we did see some good improvement here in the state of Iowa, which is definitely nice to see, especially when it comes to extreme drought.
Yeah, it was. The latest drought monitor out this morning didn't show a ton of movement overall. If you go back to the beginning of the year, basically the entire state of Iowa was in some sort of drought condition. Now 10%, the northwestern part of the state, no longer considered to be in drought. And as you mentioned, the more extreme categories continue to shrink. You're hearing about the national numbers in your three big Iowa Ag Matters as they relate, of course, here at home and across the country. The takeaway that I got from the NOAA data, and you can read more about it at iowaagnet.com, is that we have the least amount of the country in some sort of drought designation since 2020. So that's 4 years ago that Mother Nature now is providing some moisture. And of course, immediately, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, I start to think about, okay, are we going to have trouble getting it shut off at some point, which is certainly not anything we were discussing even a week ago.
No, that's exactly it. And, you know, we made the comment too, though. I mean, there's a long way to go. It took us 2 years to get that, and, you know, in 2-3 years or 4 years for the whole country. And so, you know, if we get a lot of rain, you know, a lot of it, some of it will run off. But the thing is, anything that we get that's not above normal, I mean, it's just going to maintain the status quo. And, you know, obviously with the planners getting ready to roll, we don't want to be stuck too long behind the eight ball. And that's kind of the rock and the hard place we've been talking about quite a bit, is we need the moisture. We know we need the moisture, but we'd rather plant into dry conditions. It works better for getting it started. But, you know, also in the same token, we're not going to get too upset that we're getting that rain replenished, as long as it doesn't keep us out of the fields for too long and cause us more problems. But yet it seems like we always seem to find a way when it comes to getting that production done.
You know, the other thing, Dustin, that we haven't talked a ton about here is the beneficial nature of that water in regard to what did run off, as the, you know, waterways, Mississippi River and so on, being replenished to help with the barge traffic will certainly help. A lot of the creeks and streams a lot higher than what they were just a few days ago, at least in eastern Iowa, where the majority of the moisture fell. Looks like a couple more freezing nights here, and then next week we warm up. 6 to 10 day forecast does show above normal temperatures. It also does show above normal precipitation, to my earlier point about getting it shut off here in time for planting season, as I know there's some prep work that would like to be done, at least in a lot of cases, before the planters roll. But soil temps projected to warm up by the 15th of April, perhaps hitting that key 50-degree mark. We were darn near there about a month ago in the middle of winter, and that's, you know, somewhat unique, aren't they all, I guess. But yeah, Mother Nature providing the moisture that's needed, finally, which is certainly good news. Our friends at Landis Cooperative holding a big event focusing on technology. We'll hear about that a little bit later on from Iowa Ag Matters.
April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
And before we have the conversation on technology, we'll check the statewide elevator prices for your cash grain needs. Dustin has the latest numbers for you straight ahead on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture.
Time to run down those elevator prices for you here on Iowa Ag Matters on this Thursday morning. I'm Dustin Huffman. Corn bids seeming to be improving just a little bit. Soybeans not moving much at all. The few that are move just slightly lower. Let's take a look at where things are sitting here. Starting at ADM Burlington, they're a dime under on corn at $4.23. Soybeans 15 cents under at $11.69. Cargill and Eddyville, nickel under on corn, cash bid $4.38. New Co-op Algona, nickel under on corn, they're at $4.28. Soybeans 55 cents under there. Their cash bid $11.29. Ag State Sheldon a dime over on corn $4.43. Soybeans 70 cents under. They're at $11.14. Ag State Alta 12 cents under on corn. Their cash bid $4.21. Soybeans 55 cents under at $11.29. Cargill Cedar Rapids 17 cents over on corn $4.50. Soybeans a nickel under. Their cash bid $11.79. Nexus Co-op in Marble Rock, a dime over on corn today. They're at $4.43. Soybeans 45 cents under. They're at $11.39. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, a dime over on corn. They're at $4.43 for their cash bid. ADM Des Moines, 15 cents under on soybeans. Their cash bid $11.69. New Co-op Red Oak, they're a dime under on corn. They're at $4.23. Soybeans 50 cents under at $11.34. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 18 cents under on corn. They're at $4.15 for the cash bid. Soybeans 50 cents under at $11.34. New Co-op Sheraton, 22 cents under on corn, $4.11. Soybeans, 55 cents under with a cash bid, $11.29. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 11 cents under on corn, $4.22. Soybeans, 42 cents under at $11.42. New Co-op Glidden, a nickel under on corn, cash bid 428, soybeans 50 cents under at 1134. Innovative Ag Farley, a nickel under on corn, 428, soybeans 44 cents under, cash bid 1140. And a Cargill and Muscatine, they're 12 cents under on corn at 421, soybeans are 11 cents under, they're coming in today at $11.73. Just a reminder for you, the cash bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. That's been a check of your basis bids here on Iowa Ag Matters. We'll be right back.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
We got more market information coming your way here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the midday numbers. Don't forget about the free market podcasts coming your way from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network on Amazon, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Podbean. More Iowa Ag Matters coming up, so stay with us.
We bring Riley in here on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy and Dustin, your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture, as he was up at the Innovation Connector with our friends at Landis Cooperative yesterday for a fantastic spring planting kickoff. And Matt Chambers, who's the chairman of the board, discussing innovation in agriculture. Here's Riley.
And first off, Matt, just tell us a little bit about your position and what it's like to, be in that situation with Landis, because obviously a lot of exciting things going on here.
Yeah, I love being part of the board. We have a great board. I've been a board member for just a little over 3 years, board chair for just over a year. You know, we get thrown a lot of exciting things, and the meetings are never dull. It's just great to be at the forefront of such interesting, innovative technologies, and we're changing out agriculture. You know, we maybe don't know it when we're sitting in a boardroom so much, but when we do events like this or the connector events that we're having last week and this week, you see farmers interact with what we are creating. It really makes you realize that ag is changing fast, and we're going to be right in front of it.
And I think it's interesting, too, that not only is ag changing fast, but Landis has changed fast. I mean, talking with Matt earlier, he mentioned, you know, going from having meetings in the basement to coming out here to the Innovation Connector and having a whole, you know, high-tech facility dedicated to this. There's been a lot of change.
It's changing every day. I mean, we always joke in the boardroom, you know, we'll be talking, discussing things and different topics, and Matt will get an email, and he'll say, oh, well, just a second, just got an email, and the direction will change like that quick, and we'll have a new direction to go, and that's the way agriculture is. You know, I sometimes make a reference to my younger brother that I farm with. He's 12 years younger than me. Doesn't seem like a lot now, when, you know, he's his mid-30s and I'm my maybe upper 40s. But when we talk about what we have each seen in agriculture, it is a big difference. You know, there's so many things that he has never done in our farming operation that I grew up doing. So, and it's a good symbol to know how fast this changes, that, you know, 12 years is a big difference in agriculture. And yeah.
So, you know, let's go over some of the things we talked about today through this media event. Obviously, a lot of new technology being on board here at Landis. Big topic was Talus, and just having, you know, innovations like that, you know, obviously green ammonia, other sustainable practices, adding more technology to the farm. You know, that's, of course, at the core here at Landis, and it's exciting to see those things kind of come to fruition because, you know, just a few years ago, you know, you mentioned 12 years being a long time in agriculture. Just a few years ago, we were talking about, oh, maybe these things will happen, and now here they are.
Yeah, here they are, right in front of us. And, you know, the great thing with Talus, and, you know, we talked about Tesseract, which is our data software company that they have created. They all go hand in hand. You know, you can't do one without the other piece. You know, in order to benefit from the sustainability side of green ammonia, you have to have the data on the backside of it, and you have to have that data, you know, correct, verified, and easily pushed forward to get the true benefit of this sustainable, anything sustainable in agriculture. But this Talus green ammonia is going to play a huge part in that, you know, so it's interesting to see how all the pieces of the puzzle, you know, really do just fit together so well. Everything that you'll see in the connector is, they all fit together some way or another. They're all bound together by innovation and you know, farmers' need for it. You know, there's nothing up there that you would see that a farmer hasn't asked for or wouldn't want, you know. And that's where Landis is doing a great job of sorting through. You know, there's a lot of innovating companies around, but, you know, does it fit our farmers? Does it fit, you know, Iowa agriculture or Illinois agriculture? And so Landis does a good job of finding companies like Talus. I mean, this fits every farmer in the Midwest. You know, cheap, reliable, sustainable ammonia is a huge ticket here.
And, of course, that was Matt Chambers once again with Riley there from the event at Landis yesterday. Great information there. Andy Peterson ready to go with the second round of the Three Big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Continuing to shrink, the amount of drought, not only in the state of Iowa, but in the U.S. as well, after, of course, the system moved through the eastern two-thirds of the state this past week, dumping over 4 inches of precipitation in some areas. Nationally, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration reported a sizable drop in drought areas as well. The drought has decreased to around 18% of the U.S. That's 20% lower than a month ago, and it's the lowest amount since May of 2020.
Number two.
Taking the next step when it comes to enhancing utilization and analysis of data, our friends at Landis Cooperative holding a big event at their Innovation Connector to attempt to connect farmers with technology and solutions that help them run their operations more efficiently, effectively, and sustainably.
Our farmers overall know that data is changing, but there are a ton of questions they have around how, what role they play, the cost, the efficiency, the monetization of this, and how sustainability, 45Z, so much going on this.
CEO Matt Karsten says the key to this is putting farmers back at the center as they own the data and need help in being able to better optimize collection and usage when it comes to agricultural production.
Number one.
A big milestone and becoming a big player in the marketplace, the Farmers Business Network. Dan English, the general manager of the finance arm of Farmers Business Network, says they recently eclipsed the $1 billion mark in operating lines extended.
So we just crossed over $1 billion in credit extended for operating loans. This is, you know, obviously a fun milestone to hit when we were starting out and sharing projections with potential partners. Something that certainly felt a little crazy to think that we would ever get to this level.
He says they provide a level of stability when financing operating lines through the Farmers Business Network, and there are other benefits that come along with that decision. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your Three Big Iowa Ag Matters.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Well, as we keep the day rolling along, we are going to get an update on where the grain and livestock are coming through here on the midday numbers. And speaking of market information, we've expanded the coverage of the market podcast from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network now 3 times a day, 5 days a week, 15 free of charge market analyst reports coming to you right through your mobile device, Amazon, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Podbean. Also can find replays of them at iowaagnet.com, as well as pods of potential replays of these episodes of Iowa Ag Matters, AM, PM, and even Weekend Ag Matters. All of those can be found at iowaagnet.com from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Joined today at midday by John Heinberg of Total Farm Marketing. John, what's taking place in the grains today?
Yeah, we're seeing mixed trade overall today, with the weakness being in the soybean market. Again, tied to those export and sales numbers that came out this morning. Bean sales were down 194,000 metric tons, which is very much below the low end of the expectation in terms of the range. That just kind of, again, shows that the battle that we're having moving our beans versus the cheaper South American beans here as harvest keeps going forward. Plus, we're seeing some weakness in the bean oil market. Crude oil is taking a little bit of a pause today. I mean, at least it's not rolled over, but we are softer, and then we're seeing bean oil down about a dollar a pound right now. So that's weighing on the bean market, which looks a little bit scary on the charts here. I'm a little nervous that we could see that a technical breakdown on beans if we take out the previous day's lows. We haven't done that yet so far this morning. Over in the corn market, export sales are a little bit disappointing. I mean, still 900,000 tons, which is a good number. That's the first time, though, since mid-February we've been under the million metric ton total for the week. So that may be a bit of a limiting factor. Again, we saw prices kind of rally a little bit. Again, you know, this is based off of last week's action, and demand dried up a little there. So yeah, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, if this corn market is probably just not going to go anywhere for a while.
That was John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing. That's the latest on the grains. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Beef first, as always. Mark, let's take a look at daily estimated slaughter total numbers. 123,000 head, that's 1,000 less than a week ago. And the same as a year ago, boxes are lower again, sharply lower, in fact. 88 loads of choice cut selling at 301.30, down 286. Select down 207 to 296.29 on 21 loads of movement. And the spread narrowing just a little bit to $4.38. On to the pork side of the equation, where we see daily estimated slaughter totals at 491,000 head. That's 1,000 less than a week ago, and 22,000 less than a year ago. Cash market-wise, we wrap up yesterday's trade for comparison purposes. Barrels and gilts, producers sold, negotiated purchase-wise on a carcass basis. We finished with 6,100 head of sales. The weighted average price up $1.33 to $86.04. Formula purchases, a strong run of over 163,000 head sold. Weighted average price settled at $84.72, so the market was about 50 cents stronger. As far as what's happening today, just a very light run, only 1,650 head of negotiated purchases, and no price available due to confidentiality issues. Formula purchases, 117,000 head. Weighted average price, $85.28, so we're 72 cents stronger there.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
May corn up 2.5 at 434.25. May soybeans down 7 even at 11.75.25. May soybean meal up $1.70 at 331.70. May soybean oil down 93 cents at 47.92. On the Merck, April live cattle up 27 cents at 181.20. April feeder cattle up $1.42 at 242.37. April lean hogs up 15 cents at 88.12. April pork cutout unchanged at 97.80. And class 3 milk is up 8 cents at 15.50. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Back to the market conversation we go here on Iowa Ag Matters, focusing in on the livestock analysis. Mark Magnuson returning with more from Joe Camp from Comstock.
Let's switch over to the other side of the ag marketplace, where the fireworks have been this weekend, unfortunately, or this week rather, and unfortunately it's been in the direction we do not want to see, with the cattle market taking a tumble. Joe, what's the case with the livestock today?
Still some fallout with this case of the bird flu, and it's spreading to a person in contact with those dairy cattle. Also, more cases in more states here, and just general concern with some restrictions on movement in various states popping up. We think that this is something we're going to get past here. The demand for beef not going to be hurt long term here. We don't have an impact tied to the meat And you still have short supply in general, so it shouldn't be something where this market overreacts. But we can see in the short term, certainly a reaction, as we have, where the speculators in particular, the uncertainty of it all, it's going to cause them to want to exit the market after they had been building up these bullish bets for cattle in particular over the last 2 months. For the hogs, there's some benefit when you have the sell-off and the uncertainty over beef demand and what that could mean for better pork consumption. They're still strong here to start out the week. But again, something where we're seeing some speculative liquidation, some resetting of the market, and then I think we can get back pretty quickly to these fundamentals in both markets, cattle and hogs, which are generally friendly as we head into the summer months with stronger demand coming up and still being in relatively tight supply on stocks for pork and beef. Those are firmer markets still.
And we know the ag marketplace, it trades on the headlines quite often, at least initially in a story, and that's certainly been the case with this cattle story. And we know that the hogs, like you said, Joe, in the short term have benefited, but it's also a case probably where they're seeing the headlines about the bird flu that infected the commercial flock in Texas. So I would imagine people also saying, well, poultry right now in a little bit of a question, what's the case there? So pork is really, I guess, the benefactor here this week.
Absolutely. That's definitely the case we're seeing. You have the hog market stronger all week, basically, and that following up what was really perceived to be a bearish quarterly hogs and pigs report when we left last week. It's still all about the current headlines, as you mentioned, and we got to remember there's a difference between, you know, the supply and demand of the futures contracts as opposed to the underlying physical. But again, eventually they're going to be linked back together. They'll converge in a way that should respect overall for all meats here, solid demand here going forward. And again, in particularly the case of hogs and cattle.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, as we mentioned, producers here in the state got plenty to be excited about. We'll talk about the Easter egg roundup and how many we actually used during this last weekend next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, some exciting news for you. See what I did there? Yeah, I know that's a Dustin joke. My apologies, Ian Dustin here on Iowa Ag Matters. But in all seriousness, some great demand numbers. I believe the comparison is to the quote unquote Super Bowl for egg usage over Easter. Dustin with more.
Well, now that Easter's over, you're probably like me and you've sworn off ham for 6 months, even though you know that's not going to be the case because Iowa producers do such a great job of making delicious products. But one thing that's interesting is that the ebb and flow around decorations of Easter eggs has become a big part of how we celebrate the Easter holiday. And we got some numbers in for egg usage from the American Egg Board. Now, Iowans produce more eggs than any other state, and we have a stake in the yearly traditions around this Easter holiday that just passed. So from church breakfasts to baking to decorating, we're all over the place during this last weekend. And Mark Dresner is with the American Egg Board, and he says they've already got the figures from this year's holiday usage. And if you're not an Iowa egg producer, it may surprise you just a little.
Easter is one of the biggest sales seasons of the year. It's the highest demand season of the year for eggs in the United States after only the winter holidays, where eggs are so popular for baking and entertaining. But Easter is like our Super Bowl. It is the holiday of the egg, and we're all about it. Eggs are at the center of beloved springtime traditions and memories. Americans decorate and eat about 3 billion, that's billion with a B, every year during the Easter season.
Despite higher prices on the store shelves, it doesn't seem to be much of a hiccup in the demand for hen bullets, especially during times when consumption is higher. Now, as for egg decorating, as we were talking about earlier, there are some trends that the American Egg Board has followed, and some of them are some very time-consuming yet some very beautiful art practices that either harken us back to a different era or even try to brighten someone's day.
The first one is disco ball eggs. Yes, disco is back, baby. This is part of a 2024, what they call a slow crafts trends that's been gaining popularity. We're seeing disco balls all over the place. And so we believe that disco ball eggs are going to be in this year. And in fact, on incredibleegg.org and on our Instagram channel at Incredible Egg, you can see examples of this and ways to actually do those. The second is what we call egg formation eggs. That's a twist on, because we're all about the egg puns, on affirmations. Affirmations are obviously very, very popular, particularly with young people these days. Words of encouragement, words of support, compliments, those kinds of things. And so what we're seeing is craft doing affirmations or egg formations on Easter eggs.
Of course, egg producers in this state know that between brown and white eggs, there's no difference except for the pigmentation that's determined by the chicken that is producing that egg. However, when you're a craftsperson and you're decorating for the Easter holiday, there is a difference between what you can do with the brown and white eggs, depending on just where your imagination and talent can take you.
There's a lot of different ways you can decorate a brown egg, but one of the neatest ways to decorate a brown egg, and people don't realize this, is that the shell, the brown on the shell is a pigment, and that pigment scratches off. So you can actually take a little penknife or a pin or, even a paperclip or your nail, and you can actually etch in different designs into the brown eggs. I've seen some brown eggs that have been etched that are absolutely beautiful at Easter.
Of course, with the holiday over, you may not be surprised to learn that just like Easter moves around, National Egg Salad Week also moves around, always the week following the Easter holiday.
And egg salad is just the greatest, and the same thing. Everybody's, you know, got their grandma's famous egg salad recipe that's top secret, but there are all kinds of interesting ways to do egg salad today. I mean, it's really one of those foods that keeps getting reinvented and keeps coming back newer and better every year.
Definitely check out new ways to decorate and also to use those leftover eggs, especially the ones that are still sulking in the refrigerator because they didn't get decorated this year. You can find all that out on the American Egg Board website. For Iowa Ag Matters, I'm Dustin Huffman.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, just like that, we're at the end of another show of Iowa Ag Matters. Thanks to Roddy for making it sound good. Thanks to Andy for stealing my jokes. And thanks to you for listening out there. Yeah, I got the last word on that, Andy. We'll see you again tomorrow on Iowa Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Get everything online at iowaagnet.com. See you tomorrow.